With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the On The Box podcast, a television podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Whew, I got through that again in one go. I am back after a long, long time today. It feels like ages since I did Power with Nina and Hatem. I think it was before I went to India. So I apologise that this has taken so long to do. However, we've had loads of rescheduling and stuff like that going on. But I have got back the cast of, or the guests, should I say, the cast, the guests of the Westworld podcast we did, the fantastic pod, so popular, it did so well, that show. And I have, who's now one of my regular guests, the host of the AI Legends podcast, Mr. Joe Connors. How are you doing, Joey?
Sat Sri Akal, Mr. Tandon.
Well, you know what? If I was a Sikh, it would be great. But, I'm a Hindu. Well, I'm actually atheist, but it would be Namaste, Joey.
Yeah, Namaste. Yeah, no. I was going Punjabi.
Yeah, I love it. Well done. Fantastic. Also, back, he's also part of the Westworld pod we did, and these two were so good on it that I've basically tied them down to two more shows, this one and another, in the next few weeks. That one we'll come back to. It's Mr. Mike Williams. How are you doing, Mike? Freelance writer, still writing at all those places that he was last time. How are you doing, Mike?
Exactly. Okay. I'm great, thanks. Nice to be back to discuss this interesting series.
Yeah, so what are we talking about? We are talking about an absolute, how should I say it? It's been very, very popular, infamous even. It's had mixed reviews. It's been in the news for, you know, so many negative reasons as well. It's 13 Reasons Why. I don't know how to explain what this show is, but we're going to go straight into the non-spoiler section for 10 minutes or so we can get these two to talk about it. Mike, you've just literally finished this show today. Actually, no, 5 minutes ago.
Exactly, yes.
Fucking hell.
Literally just finished, turned off Netflix, and I have come on Skype to do this podcast. So it's essentially, it's fresh.
So, non-spoiler, what should the viewer, the listener, expect when they go to view or watch this?
Well, I say it's very hard to kind of define, really, other than it's essentially about a high schooler called Hannah Baker who commits suicide. And after she's done that, she has a set of 13 cassette tapes sent to the people she believed had a part in making her decide to end it all, which is quite a grim premise, but it's quite an original, interesting one. So essentially it's a high school drama, which deals with some very, very hard, shocking subject matters, which spread over 13 episodes. So you've got 13 hours of this narrative that unfolds each episode is a different side of the tapes she has left the people. Yeah, and it really just it kind of gives you a lot of everything, really. And I have to say, it was a very interesting, engaging, and quite shocking series, which I would recommend watching. But it's very, very morbid, and I'd say it's hard to be in the right mood to kind of watch a show that is essentially documenting why someone killed themselves. But I mean, I wouldn't recommend watching it if you are not in the best of mood yourself. I mean, my mood was middling, and I still find it very, 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 very depressing at times, very sad. Not a lot to enjoy, but engaging at the same time.
Yes, I would say gripping is what it was. Mm-hmm. Gripping, intriguing, and you literally can't say exactly what you just said there. You can't say you enjoy this show. You can't say you enjoyed it. What you can say is it's an experience, but it's an experience that it's a good piece. It's very good television. You know, I always say on this show, if a television show can make you think, feel, hurt, emote, then it's unbelievable television.
And exactly.
This is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, you can't use the word enjoy in this, but you can explain it and it's emotive, very emotive. Joey, there's a lot of real life, real world issues in this show. So it's not for the faint hearted, is it?
No, it's definitely not. It's a very heavy show. From the first episode to the last, there is no lull in between. There's no breaks. You know, it's a show about suicide. Suicide is very, very serious. So, like Mike said, if you're in a bad mood, it's going to put you in a worse mood. It's sort of like putting yourself through torture, but you're enjoying it, but not for the reason of the show. It's just because it's written very well, and it's a great. I mean, it's an emotional audio diary of her detailing the 13 reasons why she ended her life. I personally have never seen anything like this before in my life. I know it, the book was written. I did not read that book. I know this was actually originally supposed to be a movie with Selena Gomez, and then they changed it into
they couldn't cover it. It couldn't cover it. No chance. I think the premise is brilliant. Like you said, you know, the cassette stuff just hooked me straight when I read about it and stuff, because obviously for us guys, we were probably using cassettes a lot when we were younger, and no question. we would be using that Walkman that Clay has, and we'll get to this in the actual spoiler section, but you know, that is normal for me. What I found really funny was that he was using Beats headphones with the
Exactly.
You know, back in the day, we'd be using the really, really thin, you know, headphones on, and like it just
falling off your head all the time.
Yeah. This guy's got the Beats plugged in. I was like, "Oh, you lucky bastard!" You know.
Yeah. a bit of a product placement there.
Oh, of course, and it wouldn't be that without you know, a Netflix show without stuff like that. I mean, they know how to make money out of these things. And Joey, there's much more, you know, mental health problems, like you said, suicide, bullying, and we won't get into the last one, but we'll talk about that in the spoiler section. So guys, there's I don't know how to say it. I tweeted about it and I said that if you've had an experience of something similar, then and it's raw, and it's you know, it's not something that you've been able to live with, because that's what you do with these things. You live with it. You don't get over it. You live with it. Then I would not watch. I really recommend you not to watch unless you're in that other phase where you are living, you know, with it and you can handle it, because it is hard. It really is hard. It gets you thinking. And myself and Joey and Mike will cover that towards the end of the show. But guys, thank you so much, because it is very unique. I don't think we can compare it to anything, so it'll be a quick one in terms of the non-spoiler stuff. So now, guys, I'm just going to start spoiling, because I'm going to do some stat stuff. I mean, actually, you can stay for this bit if you want and listen, because I know a lot of you do disappear, go and watch, and then come back to the pod. So thank you so much for doing that. That is so rewarding for me to that I've set this pod up in these little sections, and you actually listen and go away and come back after, which is perfect. But anyway, I shall be a bit more serious and not laugh anymore, because this is a serious show. The stats section of this one, unbelievable numbers for this show. You will not believe. You know, I've been doing some digging, and I found some really, really interesting statistics on this, on 13 Reasons Why. It's broken records for Netflix in the USA.
Impressive.
Yes, it's broken the Stranger Things record as well. This show, in its first month, peaked at 68.5 million demand expressions. Now, what is a demand expression? A demand expression is total audience demand being expressed for a title within a market. This market we're talking about is the US one, because these stats from a firm called Parrot Analytics, obviously they're in with Netflix, they've got back-end access, and they you know, all the big firms get access to. So I got this article from Wired, wired.com, you can check it out there. But basically, that's massive. I'll go into the numbers. So via Parrot Analytics, we've come to learn that in its first month, which is always the biggest month for any show, by the way, because obviously that's when it comes out and it's hyped and this, that. This obviously, in the first 8 days, didn't have a big push. It didn't get the marketing push. It got word of mouth push. So 13 Reasons Why retained 67% of its peak demand expressions, which I just explained, which means at the end of the first month, they still had 45 million demand expressions. So they had 69.8 at peak, 69.8 million at peak, while Stranger Things retained a higher proportion, so their peak of their peak demand expression at 72% to be precise, but their peak was only 44. So they retained it at 38, right? So they retained a lot of it at 38. But if you think about it, 13 Reasons Why retention of 45 million was more than Stranger Things' peak. How is that possible? That's unbelievable. So the first month of, and it went up in the first week this 13 Reasons Why. It went up after a week. It hit the peak after a week. Normally, they just bang straight at the level, you know. And I just have no words. It's a show. Like I said, it's not something that's something that you enjoy. But the word of mouth for it has been humongous.
Exactly.
And even the negative. This is why I say any kind of publicity is good publicity, because even the negative press for this has pushed that. It's surged. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why people are watching it. The normal rubbish stats that I normally tell people, IMDb 8.7, Rotten Tomatoes 85%, TV.com 9.5, all very, very high, very good ratings. But obviously the ones that really matter are those huge USA numbers that I just told you about. And I've also gone onto their website, Power Analytics, and had a look at the normal US audience demand. So basically, these are shows that aren't just Netflix, but normal on TV. 13 Reasons Why, in the last week, April 30th to 6th of May 2017, 43.2 million. Walking Dead, 37.2 million. The Flash, 34.6 million. American Gods, 30.5. Game of Thrones, Prison Break, The Handmaid's Tale, Better Call Saul, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Pretty Little Liars at the bottom for 18.4. Digital originals, so only online, 13 Reasons Why, again, it's in the same number, 43.2 million. Handmaid's Tale, 21 million, so the number two is half. Orange is the New Black, 18 million. Dear White People, 12. House of Cards, 10. The Last Kingdom, 10. Iron Fist, 9.8. Sense8, which, by the way, I need to go back to for season 2, 7.6. Luke Cage, 5.3. Cable Girls, 5.2. So it just shows you the domination right now of this show. So if you want to go and watch it before you listen to the rest of the show, because we're going to spoil the shit out of it, this is the point to go.
I think it's quite important that there's a big name attached to it. Not that Selena Gomez is in it, but Ivy, I think she's the producer, isn't she?
Yeah, one of the producers.
I've seen her promoting it on her Instagram and stuff, and because she's got over 60 million Instagram followers, for example, I'm pretty sure it's above that. If she's promoting it to such an audience, that's going to have a massive effect, because essentially Stranger Things didn't have anyone big promoting it, did they? It was just a Netflix show.
Yeah.
Whereas this has got Netflix and it's got Selena Gomez attached. I think that's really boosted it personally.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, she's huge over here. Mm-hmm. I don't like her personally, but she does have her gigantic following. It's like a Taylor Swift following.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just read one review on IMDb of this show? Just to throw it the other way. It got 1 out of 10. It's the one that's on there. All the normal criticism aside, this show has messed me up psychologically and has effectively messed up two friendships big time. I would not recommend. The desired effect was not achieved. It was very irresponsibly handled, and the producers directors did not understand the point at all. I hope the show burns to the ground. So that's just a little warning for you if you are going to watch it.
Everybody
is affected by television or stories in totally different ways, and I totally respect that person's opinion. BS Choco. You know, at the end of the day, if that's how they felt, I feel bad, you know, I do. But we'll get on to what we feel ourselves later. Let's go and start talking about this show then. Joey, quickly, I think Mike touched upon it, you know, the way it's made, the tapes, the premise. Really, really interesting, right? Really gets you straight into it, like, whoa, this is intriguing. Who's next? You know, like, every episode, which person is she going to talk about now? And also, very important, it's all through Clay's perception, isn't it? In terms of how he's reacting to her story.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you said. I mean, even the episodes are labeled tape one, side A, side B. That's every episode. 13 of them are labeled like that. So it's really different the way they did it. Again, I really, really like the show. Clay's perspective, I can't imagine being that young and feeling like her death, you're a part of it. Because basically anybody who she thought wronged her or was part of her suicide or helped to it got a copy of the tapes. And you could imagine how horrible that is for kids. And, you know, maybe we can get into spoilers now, right?
Indeed.
Okay. Cause there's one part. So there's I love the show, but the severity of the offenses of that the kids did, like Bryce rapes her. He's just an absolute like entitled rich kid scumbag. But then there's another kid who just publishes a poem that's random. And I know it offended her and she didn't like it, but are they the same thing?
Yeah, I found the levels of complicity were so varied and quite unfair, yeah. I think, to some people, how it, you know, would essentially scar them for life such minor things.
And that's it. Like, it's with suicide, if the person who kills themselves makes the decision to do that, whether that's mental health illness, and 90% of the people, 90% of the suicides, there is mental illness involved. That's a fact. You can look it up. And it's just that you're leaving behind these tapes with teenagers. They now have to live with this the rest of their life. Now, some of them do deserve it, but some of them don't deserve it. Like the kid, Bryce, who raped her, he was a scumbag. Foley. You know, Justin Foley, you know, started the rumor where he takes the, when she's coming down the slide and he takes the picture of her and you see her underwear. And it makes it look like they did something more than just kiss. And
it was Bryce, though, again, though, wasn't it? Wasn't Justin?
Well, yeah, Bryce. Well, took the picture.
Yeah, but
Bryce
he did was show it him. It didn't. Mm-hmm. But he didn't mean to send it out, which is what Bryce actually did. So Bryce
Yeah, he's a dirtbag. But by him doing that, by Justin doing that, like he's trying to make himself look like the big man on campus. Like, oh, look at the girl. Look what I did with her. And yeah, Bryce was the main culprit, but
yeah, of course. Oh yeah, totally. Justin showing off. He's showing off.
Yeah, Justin showing off. And again, like, there's a lot of these people who got these tapes. their involvement is nowhere near. If you've never been through suicide with somebody in your life, it's hard to really put this into words, but you shouldn't have that self guilt. Some of these kids shouldn't have that self guilt. And I'm not trying to badmouth what she did. You know, she did it because she felt like there was nothing else to do. You see that through the show. She tries so hard to bring herself back from, is there anything else I can do but kill myself? She feels that there's not. But these kids shouldn't have to live with that survivor's guilt.
But Joey, I kind of understand what you're saying, but this is her story. She felt these things, you know, and she felt betrayed by certain things. Even though maybe taking your, you know, emptying, what was that little bag, that little suggestion? What was the little,
in the classroom?
Even though emptying that's a minor, but what she was going through, it's like a snowball effect, dude.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, we know this, right?
Some of us have been through this, so it can start as a really small thing, but when someone is going through a really rough time, and especially when you've been kind of cyber bullied, because remember, bullying is huge in this as well. Massively bullying, you know, in terms of sending pictures about you, and then you're kind of playing these little games, and then your best friends kind of turn their back on you because they're going out with each other, and all this stuff's going on. The friend that you did have's left. She's, because obviously the show starts with her, with another friend who leaves town, doesn't she? So everything's going against you. Your parents showing absolute zero interest in your life because they're just fighting about their business. They show it to a T where this kid is being neglected by the parents and then is going through absolute trauma at school. And remember, put yourself in the position of the kid rather than looking from the outside and think, my parents aren't giving me the love, yeah, that I should be getting. And then all these things are happening at school. Where do I go to?
And I do agree with that. But if it was just the suicide, then I'm totally on board. But how many times, I mean, she is basically, it's a revenge for her by making these tapes. Is the way that I saw it. It's kind of undermining the finality of her suicide. Don't you think so?
That's really interesting because I'd say, having just watched it, what you've just said about her unfairly sort of targeting all these people, I've only just started to pick up on that as you were saying it, and I totally agree with, again, the severity of certain people doing, which are relatively minor things to a lot of people, but in this case it's a big thing that is a part of a snowball effect that does all piece together in a jigsaw that makes the whole picture of what her intent is by killing herself.
Yeah, and I totally agree with the other point as well, that it seems like a revenge thing, and also how meticulous it is. Someone who's so depressed is meticulously recording, you know, because that's going to take some time to do, right?
Well, that's the other thing. You just said the perfect word there, Gags. You said depression, but they kind of skirt those issues. They don't really talk about her. I go back to the fact 90% of all suicides have some kind of mental illness. So in real life, things are rarely that simple. You mean to tell me through all that she's going through, and she went through a lot. And there's no question about that, and I don't agree with any of that, none of it. Whether it's the little bit of bullying, whether it's the note that passed around that Alex gave her the best ass to make himself popular and her popular, that stuff happens in every high school in America and probably everywhere. I'm just speaking because I live for America, so I'm not trying to.
I reckon she'd have got over that though if none of the other stuff happened. If none of the other stuff happened. That's what I mean.
Yeah, so like, when you're depressed, like, I've battled depression and anxiety. I'm not afraid to say that, but I've had to go through that. Now, have I ever felt that I was going to kill myself? No. But I really don't think I wouldn't make tapes That would be the last thing on my mind, would be to make tapes to get vengeance on people who I feel contributed to my suicide. But guys, you brought up another good point there, is her parents. We're only concerned about their business, their money. They didn't see there's warning signs with suicide. Mm-hmm. And then they put the posters up in the school about suicide, but they don't tell you what they don't touch about is it's all the warning signs. You can put up a poster that says suicide or teenage suicide or it's a bad thing. We want to be against this, blah, blah, blah. It's a horrible thing. Let's show you the facts. Don't show me the facts. Show me the warning signs. How many adults in this show are completely incompetent? Every single one.
Yeah, interesting point, Lars.
Even down to the counselor. His response when she tried to go to him and tell him she was raped was just, I mean, it made you want to cry. That's when she was done. She had nowhere else to go.
That was the last one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is quite obvious how there was this obliviousness.
Yes, there was.
Especially from the adults. Mm. As you say, in that final episode when the counselor was sort of focused on and you saw how he dealt with, I mean, it's very complex issues anyway, especially with not only just a suicide, but obviously the whole rape scenario that she went through, the way that he tried to sort of kind of victim blame her. And that kind of is a theme I saw going throughout the whole film. There was there was a big emphasis on this male domination and male entitlement going all the way through it, and how women and the girls in the main roles were just kind of there to satisfy these men. And there were so many issues of obviously, there were obviously rapes and there was sexual assault.
There was two rapes, wasn't there? Not one.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about Hannah's. We don't even talk about the other ones. I mean,
Jessica's.
My goodness, that was terrible.
And they showed it, which was even worse. They showed the whole getting raped. It was like, I couldn't even watch that. It's just disgusting.
Very, very uncomfortable. So uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. And also then how she does what she does. You know, she doesn't say anything. She doesn't tell her. What. Obviously, they're not friends, though, are they? So at that point in time, and she wouldn't
want to
believe her.
And then she turns to drugs and alcohol.
Well, because she knows it inside what's happened, but she won't admit it.
Oh, yeah. In such denial about it. And
exactly.
It was so interesting that all these people knew that Bryce was a rapist, yet no one was confronting it. And I found it so strange that he and Justin would still
be mates,
be interacting, letting them be mates and having a drink together. It's like
best friends.
It's so goddamn wrong that these people carry on as if it's kind of like almost undermine the severity of what he did.
Can we just say that the acting, though, by Justin Prentice, who's Bryce, was brilliant. He did come across as a twat.
Yes.
And Brandon Flynn, Justin Foley, he was also, you just wanted to punch him in the face.
The whole series.
Yeah, Alicia Beau, Jessica was great, looked good, and she's great in the role. Dylan, Minette, is that how you say it? He, as Clay, I think if he wasn't in the show, don't think it would have been as good as it was. And obviously Catherine Langford, Hannah was them two as a couple as well. They were brilliant, weren't they? Yeah. They were brilliant.
They really were.
I just have to say before we do keep going, because we're covering loads of social issues. I'm just saying about the TV show itself. It's totally fine. This is what TV does. This is what it does. It's great. I just thought some of the performances within the show were amazing, and Dylan's going to be a big, big star, I think, one day. Clay Jensen.
Oh, yeah, question.
He was in Goosebumps. I don't know if you've seen that. Jack Black.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that with my kids. My daughter actually said, "Oh, Dad, he's from Goosebumps." I was like, "Oh, shit, we watched that years ago." So my daughter would have walked in. I was like, "Get out, you're not watching this."
Please don't watch
that. No, you're not watching this. She goes, "Oh, Daddy, that teen show is out. 13 Reasons." Go, "Watch it." "No, you're not watching that. Go away, please. No, don't watch it." Obviously, we've had, I'll say it right now, we've had the suicide in the family. The kids have gone through that with us. You know, they were younger, so they've seen, or it was someone very close to them, you know, their aunt. So it was I don't want them to go anywhere near this to bring those type of memories back for them, you know what I mean? So that's why
everything. That's the people who want to make it, not saying your daughters would ever do this gags, but impressionable minds that
you don't
they're
know.
Very yeah. young minds. They're not emotional. They're not at a level where they can function emotional and cognitive, and they're very unstable. And your kids are closer to teenagers than mine are. So it's,
yeah, she's 12. She's going to be 13. Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing, the good thing about the show, the one good thing about the show is that the message is learn from this, you know, learn from this, try and spot these things in your kids, try and spot these things in other kids, have a bit of empathy towards somebody else. Cause obviously people just, the big thing I got out of this was people just stood by and watched everything happen, and no one did anything. And poor Clay doesn't know what's happening. Like, he's just so innocent. He's just like, he doesn't
he's
know.
Clueless.
He's totally clueless.
Clueless
nerd.
Yeah.
Total nerd.
That's what he is. He's a nerd. If he had any, what we call game in America, this may have never happened. They would have been together and she might not have gone through a lot of the stuff that she went through. But, and I do agree with you there. I said it already. This show's great, but I do feel that they do romanticize suicide, and I have a big problem with that. I don't like that. I'm glad that they showed the suicide. That was hard to watch, but it was. I think it was necessary for the viewer.
I
don't think they should have skirted that. But I don't like the fact that they romanticize suicide, and I really hate the fact that they're having a season two, because I really don't think there's any reason to have a season two for a show like this, other than to make money, which is not a good enough reason for me. I'm sorry.
How are they going to continue the premise, Mike, of this? Are they going to give him more tapes? Has she done 15 tapes? Has she done, you know, 26 tapes? Because there's another 13.
Well,
what?
This, yeah, I mean, I say, so seeing I've just watched it, I knew from a few days ago that there's going to be a season two. So I already knew going into it there's going to be a follow-up. But so, you know, towards the end, I was sort of thinking, how is this going to carry on? Now, there's a point where I can't remember who the photographer's called. Hey, the photographer, the class photographer.
Tyler.
Yeah, that's the one. Well,
creeper.
One point in,
the creep.
Yeah, the end,
the creep.
There's
big
a really disturbing bit where he's got this secret compartment in his cabin, and it's full of, like, it's got a shotgun. It's got all sorts of, like, guns and equipment. It's like, is he going to, like, you know, is he going to go and attack the school? That's initially what I thought for that.
Well, Alex has shot himself, hasn't he? Now, they've told everyone Alex has shot himself, but has Tyler done something?
Well, you know what, though? And here's the thing. And Mike, I think you're right. I think you just said it. He's probably going to shoot up the school.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a problem in America with kids doing that now. It doesn't need to be shown on fucking TV. It's a big problem here. We went through Columbine. You guys probably know what that is. It was a huge thing in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
We've had many of them. It doesn't need to be shown on TV. And you brought up Alex, how he shot himself. And I wanted to point out, because I've been waiting for to talk about this, but did you guys pick up on what he did? Did you? Because I don't know. I didn't read it. But again, we talked about signs of suicide. Did you see what he did before the last episode?
Who, Alex?
Yes. It would have been. It's a giant sign. If you guys saw it, that would have alluded to him doing that.
I can't, off the top of my head, recall.
He cleaned his room. Remember when his dad walked in?
And he said,
"Wow, that is one of the number one things that people who were ready to kill themselves. That's one of the first things they do, is clean their room." And that's what he did. And I said, "Son of a bitch!" And then the next episode, they had the ambulance, and they said his name.
So he did do it then.
Yes, he shot himself in the head.
Oh,
yep.
Dear.
And I didn't know if anybody picked up on that.
No, I wouldn't even know that. That fact, to be honest, I just would not pick up on.
I mean, I picked up on Alex being the more he felt like
he did feel it.
He was the one who was the most eager to sort of come clean and hold his hands up and sort of address it head on, rather than everyone else was just sort of very happy to push the back of their mind and all pretend like nothing was going on. He was the one who was like, cut the bullshit, let's just, you know, let's hold our hands up. What, you know, he didn't care what happened. And I did pick up on that kind of, he was done with it. So it wasn't a total surprise that he, when he did something,
because he would seem the most likely. But yeah, what I say, going back to that point of seeing all the guns in the bottom of that cabinet, it was that felt to me like that was almost like setting up a new narrative, but it would just seem a bit of a weird thing to focus on for season two. And as you say, the idea of sort of romanticising the idea of suicide, you wouldn't want them to have any sort of whiff of romanticising shooting up a school, because as you say, the problems are bad enough anyway in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't feel right to have a season around that. I don't know. It just doesn't, it wouldn't sit right for me.
Mike, there were other bits as well, like Cray was then going on revenge missions as well. And I just thought, two wrongs don't make a right, you know? I don't know if you felt the same thing, Mike.
That's what I initially worried about his character. The way he then took, became a peeping Tom, took photos of the guy in his room,
Tyler,
naked, but naked. And I just thought, is this going to go down an avenue where he tries to right the wrongs by basically being as bad as all these people? And that kind of made me conflicted with the character. I mean, overall, you sort of could empathise with him the most, and you obviously saw it from his perspective, so you're able to relate to him more than anyone else. But yeah, there was times when I wasn't too sure on the character and he was going off the rails, and I thought there was a lot of signs that he had some significant like mental health issues, and obviously was suffering the trauma of losing Hannah. And it didn't quite go off the rails as it was setting him up to.
Totally.
He sort of reined it back in, didn't he?
He did. Total signs of being depressed, refusing to even listen to tapes at one point in the show, just showed how much he was traumatized by what he was listening to. And also he was like, how did I not see these things? You know, he's like, what the hell is going on? Where am I? And like, he's blaming himself. There's an inner conflict then that why am I not awake? Why am I not seeing things? And then as he's flashing back, as she's telling the story, he's flashing back to what he's doing at the same time. And he's just thinking, what the hell is going on?
But he was torturing himself, wasn't he?
Of course.
As in, he couldn't know what he'd done.
And that's what I don't like about it, is that if he never would have gotten those tapes, of course he would have been sad. Of course he could have thought about, well, you know, what could have been. Would have been together, but he didn't have to listen to 13 hours of "this is why I killed myself." Most people who lose somebody by suicide don't get that, and that's not fair. That's why I don't like that show. And maybe that's because I went through, and I'll get to it at the end, what I went through. And maybe that's why I feel so strongly about it. But I mean, yeah, you can't, when you commit suicide, you do it for. And maybe people don't agree with me, but you do it for selfish reasons. Whatever you have going on in your life, it's a selfish thing to do, because you hurt everybody you leave behind, and then that hurt never goes away, ever. It'll never go away. It'll get brought back up many times in your life until the day you die. So that's the one thing I didn't
just
like about
just
that.
Just like this TV show just brings it all back, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It brings it right back.
But you know what? Just we'll come back to all that stuff, Joey. But Mike, in terms of characters then, what did you think of anyone, any specific? Obviously, we talked about Clay, talked a bit about Alex there. We've hated on Bryce plenty, which is actually a compliment, because he's done his job in terms of acting. Any other characters that you want to talk about?
In terms of being complicit, I still think the counselor essentially was arguably one the most, but mainly because he was the adult in the situation. And she went to him for help. She didn't necessarily go to anyone else for help. Even when Clay was the one she wanted to sort of connect with and to reach out to and for him to be there, he wasn't. He wasn't able to be there for her.
She pushed him away, though, didn't she?
Exactly. I mean, in her mind, when she said go away, essentially, when they were sort of getting a bit heated in the bedroom, she said, go away. He took her at face value and left, which she didn't want him to. So, I mean, it's hard when you want people to mind read. But in the case of the counsellor, she went to him as a last resort. She made it fairly obvious she'd been sexually assaulted. She was having very bad thoughts and was contemplating suicide, even though she never said it specifically. And he didn't really do anything for her. And that's his goddamn job, to be there and to know these signs. So I think out of all the people, he should have known better. And I think that's why he was the one that, when he heard just what Clay was saying, he was crying. And he, I think, felt guilty himself, possibly more than the others, because as the adult, I feel he should have been there and known better. Whereas all the others essentially did things to her that affected her and so built up that whole notion of killing herself.
Yeah, they were wrong. Whatever they did was wrong, but he failed her, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He didn't do anything to her, like, you know, he didn't bully her.
He failed her.
Exactly. I think that's possibly the most damning example in there, I think.
She needed someone to stand up by her side and take her hand and maybe even, you know, give her a hug and say, right, we've got you now. You're not going anywhere.
Well, especially when her parents are so wrapped up in their own lives and businesses. That was another thing I noticed.
Oh, my God, when she lost that money.
Yeah.
That was another one. Yeah, God, it was horrible. You felt bad for her.
Can we talk about Tony and how...
Yeah, we haven't mentioned Tony. Just, like, what the hell?
He looks like he's 35 as a ninth grader. <What's that? laughs>
We needed a laugh, sir. We needed a laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played the character well, but his... It was like he was never even in school. Like, he followed Clay around everywhere.
He was a strange character, but also I quite liked him. It was very weird at times, especially when he took him up that cliff, the rock climbed.
Yeah.
And took him up to kind of explain things to him. It had, I don't know, I in a weird way, I thought him following him around all the time, always being there and giving like cryptic messages, it had a weird feeling.
It did.
That it was kind of like the log lady in Twin Peaks. I don't know if any of you made any sort of comparison. It just reminded me of this strange sort of character always appearing and offering this cryptic advice while slowing everything.
Yeah, he was like a bad Yoda, is what he was.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what Clay called him.
I think in the end, he was on his side, wasn't he, always? He knew that he hadn't really done anything wrong, and he just wanted to... He also probably knew Clay was very vulnerable as well, so he needed to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, and he's also the one who gave Hannah's parents the tapes on the drive.
Yeah.
And we should talk about Courtney, too, Crimson. The girl who's in the closet, the lesbian.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Like, I hated her.
Yeah, it's what she did, and she made a pass on her, and then the creeper took a picture, Tyler took a picture of him, and then the whole school seen it.
And she just disowned her. Oh.
Disowned her and threw her under the bus.
And I understand from her perspective, and being at that age, she was terrified of coming out as a lesbian.
Yeah.
And I get that. And
but she had gay parents, didn't she? So
she did.
Yeah,
she didn't want to be. She was scared to be. Oh, she didn't want her parents to get. Oh, because of their, you know, because of what they are like. That's what's happened to you. And she didn't. She was looking out for them. Do you get what I mean? She didn't want them to get the blame. That it was a lot of pressure, man, for a kid. To be honest, wow. Like you're right. You know, if you look at it from her shoes. Jesus, but you don't do that.
It was still horrible. She threw under the bus and then was making up rumors about her, and all to preserve her seemingly quote unquote perfect image, which obviously by the end is not the perfect image she's tried to maintain, because the truth inevitably comes out. And plus, having, you know, in the deposition, having to reveal what happened, etc. I just think it was very narrow-minded of her, naive and narrow-minded as an 18-year-old to be that focused on self-preservation and worrying what the world will think. I mean, especially because it's a very, I think it's quite a liberal and sort of open narrative in me. So you've got gay characters in there, you've got, there's a lot of diversity, there's a lot going on, that a lot of modern people in 2017 can relate to. I didn't quite understand why she was so afraid to be gay in the program.
Yeah, I suppose it's a personal thing, isn't it? I think some people can be like that. And some people want to be, you know, come out and be totally normal about it, but some others, I don't know why, maybe do feel different. I don't know. I don't want to put any words.
I understand that. It's obviously...
It's a personal thing, isn't it?
It's obviously hard to, I'd imagine, to come out, especially in high school, and depending on your upbringing and lots of other factors. But I just think the way she tried to preserve her own secrets by really hurting Hannah was quite misjudged. It's very harsh.
Yeah, it's a great discussion point to bring up there, Joey. Joey, any other characters that you think need a bit more time? We haven't even talked about Hannah much, you know, to be honest. Who played the role very, very well. Australian actress, putting on an American accent. she did a great job, I thought.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
You do feel sorry for her, don't you? You do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody who has to go through that, it's... Some of the stuff is everyday stuff that kids go through. I mean, you want to talk about terrorists being bad people? Right behind them is kids in high school. They're nasty. You know, a lot of them can be nasty people.
You're an American, so this kind of opens up. Yeah. We're from the UK, so it kind of opens up what the atmosphere is like. You know,
I've seen this at my high school. No, not the rape stuff. I've never seen, but. You know, you see those lists.
Thankfully.
Yes, thankfully, yeah. No, but let's be honest. I mean, that stuff happens all over college campuses all the time.
Everywhere in the world, dude. Everywhere in the world. Not just America.
No question. No, not just America. No, definitely not. It's not an American issue. It's a,
it's a world
male-female problem, yeah. So, no, I mean, I thought she was fantastic. I mean, I can't picture anybody else playing that role now that I've seen it. But even even the rape scene is just...
She
having to watch her face and she's just demoralized. She can't do anything.
If you watch the show afterwards, you know, the one they close off. There's Michael have to watch when he's done from here. They do a little follow up, and she talks about how the director or the creator of the show, whoever, one of them, purposely zooms in on her face as she's being raped because they really want it to hit home. You know, that's a scene where they say, stop this type of stuff from happening, guys. You know, you need to be there for your kids, or you need to be there. This is what they go through. This is the reality of the situation of when someone's going through it. You're supposed to feel empathy. You're supposed to feel anger. You're supposed to feel all the nasty things that you don't want to watch it, you feel sick. All those things, because that's exactly what they went for. It's actually successfully done. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a really bad shot.
Yeah.
Like, as in, to watch, it's disgusting, but if you look at it from a director, from a writer, from that point of view, they got exactly what they wanted from it, is that the audience was, bleh, I can't watch it.
I think it was important for it to be brutal and... Yeah. Yeah. Just generally grotesque, as you say, to emphasize to your young people, this is what happens. This is the kind of horrible shit that
stand
people
up against
do.
It, please, yeah,
yeah. I mean, don't ignore it. Don't brush it off. You know, the whole college campus sort of rape culture, that kind of thing. It's prevalent all over, and. While we know that happens, when you then see it depicted, even though it's obviously depicted in fiction, it's still horrible, horrible just to watch.
I thought that scene personally was worse than the suicide scene.
Yeah,
and it was disgusting.
We've seen stuff like the suicide stuff in other films and whatever. You know, you get to see that, but that scene, the rape was. Oh my god, it was just, you wanted to beat the hell out of that guy, man. You just
went on, didn't it?
Oh,
Bryce, you just wanted to smack him up. But anyway, Joey, So basically, we've looked at the characters, looked at the story. We've even touched on why. You've even touched on why you think season two is just duh, don't go there. I want to, and you even talked about how it's a revenge mission in terms of the tapes and stuff. I wanted to have a discussion on a bit about the closure, because I think we've covered everything else in terms of treatment of suicide, how people have complained about it, why we've gone through all the reasons why people would, you know. The discussion of the closure. Now, when I was watching this show, I was hesitant. I saw it tweeted about, and obviously I've been through a very, very close family, suicide in 2012. So it's been what? It's coming up to 5 years. And I just didn't know whether I wanted to watch it, but I just read so many things that, you know, this has been a tough watch, whatever. I wanted to see what this was. I was intrigued by it. So I watched it. And the one thing that I got immediately was that it was a kind of closure. Like, I know you've just said it's more of a revenge mission and who would do this type of thing and where'd you find the time and all that, but let's take it for what it is and the story for what it is, and someone's actually gone and done it, so they've put the tapes and all that. Once that does get to your parents, at least your parents have a full story, who to blame, have a bit of closure, your daughter's last words or whatever she's saying. The only thing that I took out of it the whole way was looking at my personal experience. There's people in this world, including myself and the families involved in our side, that never got any kind of closure. So the thing that I took from it was that the personal experience I had was far worse, because we'll never know. Do you get what I mean? We'll never know. Yeah. And that stuck by me. The whole 13 episodes was like...
Me too.
You know, you know, man. You guys are getting to know exactly what's going on. Like, even though it's just TV, I understand. But, like, the thing that hurt more than the rape scene, the things that hurt more than the actual scene of committing suicide was that there was closure, but we, you know, in real life, some people just... And because we've suffered through it, just don't get the closure ever.
Yeah, and that's the part that bothers me. I actually lost my dad last year to suicide, in April. So you want to talk
just
about
been a year?
Yeah, it's been a year. It's been
so
a little
sorry,
over a year.
So sorry, Joey.
Yeah, and I know Gags, you already know this because you and I talk quite often. But and those wounds are still really fresh. My dad was only 60 years old. He was one of my best friends, and you don't get closure. There was no note. There was no nothing. And why I think I know why he did it. It really doesn't ever help it.
Because all the, you're right. Yeah. I kind of know that. I kind of know why as well. Like, you know, you have it, but I'd like to know what happened, you know, where.
Yeah. What made you go to the last straw?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the hard thing, and that's what eats it. But I did therapy and everything, and it's some people's therapy is for them. It's not quite for me. But one thing I did take it from it is that if you hang on that, it'll end up killing you. Because you just can't know why for sure. You just basically have to tell yourself the best story you can and live through it. Every single day, you have to have stuff to live for. I have a wife and kids. I got family. I got a lot of great friends. Anfield Index, which people would laugh at if they're listening to this, but you'd be shocked at how many people, or maybe you wouldn't be, by how many people WhatsApped me or called me. People from all over the world, not even in my time zone. Like, that stuff matters a lot when you're vulnerable, when you just feel like nothing's going to get better. And it with Hannah and Clay, it was like Hannah got closure. Her parents got closure. I liked that part of it. But with Clay, I mean, she even says she confesses her admiration in the tape for him. She doesn't think he should be in there.
It was actually a really nice bit of the show.
Yeah.
Like for him, he actually was torture because he loves her and he wishes he wishes she said it to him at the time. So he's like going through real pain. But it was a lovely little bit to hear. Like I was really worried about his tape, I'll be honest. I was like, what did he do?
No. Yeah, I thought he did something horrible and then he regretted it. And actually guys, you said earlier, he was like a squeaky clean kid, a geek, didn't really know, you know, he was bad with girls. You know, he tried with her before and then she would always go for somebody else because he wasn't very, you know, upfront about his feelings for her. And I talked about it already. I want to repeat it, but it was almost like she passed on a burden to him. And I just have a giant problem with that. Maybe some people don't look at it that way, but I don't feel that because he did nothing wrong. Even the people who did a little bit wrong, they still feel sad, but you don't feel that burden because you're not the one who's going to feel like, man, like I could have still talked to her. Maybe I could have helped that because all those other people couldn't have did that. Even her parents, who you think, oh, her parents could have talked to her, but they weren't involved in her life. The school counselor, you know, the school counselor, he felt terrible, but when Clay got those tapes, the both of them knew they should have been together. It was just bad timing all the time. They both knew how they felt.
Yeah,
for
it was
each other.
It was tragic, wasn't it? It was like a tragic story, love story. It was like you said, they romanticized
it's Shakespeare.
It. Yeah,
they were, and that's the part I don't like that. I don't think it's fair to him that he now has, because you can't, it's a recording. You can't get rid of it.
No.
You can't unheard what you heard.
No, exactly.
That's the problem. And I don't like that part of it. And that's not real life.
No. I mean, yeah, that's the thing when you write and it's TV, they're going to do some stuff that they have to go across some boundaries because otherwise the interest, you know, you don't get the build of certain parts of the show. Mike, I mean, we talked about the closure stuff. The entire show, because it was only in the finale that their parents got the tapes. So what I was talking about in terms of closure, their parents do actually show all those signs throughout the show. They have no idea why. They have no idea what she's done. And all these people, 13 people or so, have listened to tapes, 12 people. And they are the last people to get them, or the second to last, or whatever, to get them. But you do see the pain, didn't you, from, you know, and for those parents, they do actually go through it for however long these tapes are being distributed.
They do. And as we've mentioned, everyone is so wrapped up in themselves. I think that's an interesting commentary on people, how I'm sure, you know, everyone's known people who they are friends with, they like, or their family. Sometimes they can't be bothered with them. Or sometimes you're wrapped up in yourself, you've got your own problems, and it's really easy to push people away. And I think this is what Hannah basically experienced from everyone around her. But what I thought was interesting was, as I've mentioned, the sort of complicity and naivety of the adults in this whole scenario. On a couple of occasions, I picked up on when they were trying to, they were implementing this new scheme to start for next term, which would increase their sort of suicide prevention scheme. And they mentioned a few times how, you know, we want to basically stamp out suicide. You know, they were like, we want to stop anyone from doing it again. I just thought they're not quite getting it, because I even think however much you sort of emphasize and offer help to people, people are always going to commit suicide no matter what you do. It's just having the right kind of help there for them. And by them saying, oh, we want to stamp it out entirely, it's never going to be possible. I just find the whole depiction of the adults to be very, as I say, complicit and sort of very unaware and totally out of touch with what all the kids are going through and what each individual child is experiencing, obviously, especially what Hannah was going through, how no one seemed to pick up on any signs of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Not only the adults, I thought some of the kids as well were just so selfish. Unbelievably.
I mean, you can sort of
I say not forgive the kids, but it's more kind of accepted because they're naive and they are kids. I mean, they're still 18.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot to learn. They're still early on life and they don't, there's so much naivety with the kids. Well, they all went to be 18, weren't they? And there was so many of them gave in to peer pressure just at the click of a finger. It was ridiculous. But I think that adults shouldn't be let off as light as easily because, you know, they've got time and experience on their side. They should have known better. But I mean, it's an interesting, another interesting commentary on how people look at mental health. I think it's, you know, it's very mishandled in a lot of situations in real life. People don't always get the help they want. People don't always get the help they need or have it available to them. And that's like, I think that's a really interesting point on real life mental health issues, that there's so much obliviousness to it all and no one really understands it, which is, I think, something that will be raised through the series because it's got to so many people and it has been a massive talking point, controversially or not. It has raised the ability of people to talk about it, I think.
Totally agree. Joey, I think we've covered everything that we can on this. Any final words from you on 13 Reasons Why?
I want people to go into it with an open mind. I think if you listen to this show, and I mean, we did spoilers, but we could have made this a 3-hour pod. There's so many things in each episode that you're going to be like, oh man, like how could they miss that? Or man, you know, they didn't talk about that. But I just think if you know somebody, or if you maybe know somebody who's down and depressed, don't let them get to that point. Ask them if they just be a human, be a good person, be a good human being. If there's something you can do to avoid it, try it. And if it doesn't work and that something bad ends up happening, you don't want to have to live with that guilt because it is awful. I'm telling you, it's just bad.
Totally agree. Mike, any last words?
I think Joey summed it up pretty well. It's worth watching. It is definitely an experience. Either none of us can say it's going to be an enjoyable watch over the 13 or so hours. It does have it. It's such a mixture of coming of age, high school drama, sort of romance. There's so much in there, and there's so much subtext, and there's so much sort of social commentary. Did I say there's so many things we haven't even touched upon?
I know
that we could talk for so long about. Yeah. So it's worth watching for the experience of seeing what a well produced show it is.
Exactly. That's one thing I was going to say. Well directed, well produced. Very good performances as well, because without the performances, by the way, you don't get to feel what you feel. Remember that any show, if it moves you, the story can be good, but they've got to perform. The actors have got to perform. And in this, they did, because otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it like we are now, and it wouldn't be getting the ratings that it is now, and it wouldn't be getting the hate, because it's getting love and hate that it is now. And, I mean, I spoke to a few people about it, and just one of my friends, you know, just from their perspective, people can be mean, you know, and they were saying to me that there's an expectation for people, young people especially, to grow up fast, live up to ideals, and no matter how big or small the problem is, you just have to try and speak to somebody. No problem is too big, no problem is too small, but remember, other people have just as many insecurities as you do, so even though you might feel alone, you never really are. You may seem it, but you aren't. So you can go and reach out to your best friend, to your mum, to your dad. You shouldn't feel ashamed at all. That's the biggest thing you take from this show, is awareness. Learn from it. And if you're one of those people that's listening and, you know, you feel a little down, depressed maybe, you need to speak about it. And if you know us personally, all of us would help. I'd help. You could contact me anytime, anywhere. And you know, I would help anybody that's going through hell, any kind of hell, because I've already feel helpless in one case, and I don't ever want to feel that again. So yes, it was an amazing show. I don't think I want to do any plugs or anything. I think we should just end that there. And if you did enjoy our take on this show, or if you did agree or disagree with anything that we've said, feel free to tweet us. Mike, your Twitter?
It's Mike_P_Williams.
Plenty of underscores. Joe, I'm sure. Underscores, no.
You know, I don't even know what the hell my Twitter actual handle
Joe
is.
Joe Connors 81.
I think it's Joe Connors 81, I think is what it is. I don't usually pay much attention to it. I have the middle finger as my picture now. But, yeah. You can see that. Yeah.
Oh, man. And if you want to contact me, you can find me on at Anfield Index, at On The Box Podcast, or my personal account at Gags Tandon. You can also email at any time to anfieldindex@gmail.com. If you need, for any reason at all. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Mike and Joe for being such fantastic guests once again. We, the three of us, will be back shortly. We'll discuss that and get a schedule down. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.